thanks for the prayer of blessing. Just got to notice that my internet connection is unstable, so hopefully it won't freeze here as we go through this message time. But it's going to be a little shorter this morning, because the reason we're together today is to celebrate. And part of celebrating is sharing together the good things that God has been doing, even as we do every Sunday. But especially this year, if you saw the email that I sent out, I asked you to think about, how have you seen the Lord recently? Mary's declaration to the disciples is, I have seen the Lord. And we want to share that together. So I'm going to share a couple thoughts on this story. And then I'm just going to open it up. If you want to chat in a testimony, just one or two sentences. I'd love to hear from as many people as we can of how you have seen the Lord. I've contacted a couple people I knew wouldn't be here with us and have a couple testimonies to share. But if you have anything, a sentence or two that you would like to throw in of how you've seen the Lord or how you're still waiting to see the Lord. Obviously, we've heard a little bit of that already in our prayer and sharing. Those are important reasons as we gather together to celebrate, to hear these testimonies of how we also have seen the Lord with Mary. I also, just before I start, I just want to thank Mary Ann for the Lent readings. Mary Ann put those together, each one that we've been reflecting on from some resources she had, and that we also used quite a bit of that in the Maundy Thursday service. So thank you so much, Mary Ann, for your time in putting those together. But be thinking about any testimonies, and even if you think of one and you don't want to forget it, you can just chat it in. Well, this morning we want to reflect briefly on this account of the story that Natalie just read for us of Mary at the tomb. This beautiful story that helps us understand how the kingdom breaks forth in the world from the very first moment that it broke forth. So he is risen. Just making sure you're listening. Maybe you said it here. Let's try it again. Ready? He is risen. I saw some lips moving. Let's try it one more time. He is risen. All right. Yeah, I saw most lips moving there. We with the kids on Friday, we tried to all unmute together and say it all together. But the Zoom function gets confused as to who's coming through the speaker. And so it doesn't really work. So I just have to trust that your lips were moving and your voice was engaged as well. He is risen indeed. The new creation has come. The great unbeatable enemy of us all, death, has been defeated. Life reigns and we have nothing to fear. Hallelujah. I wanted to say hallelujah so many times this morning, various parts. But why then does the story open with Mary weeping? Is this not Sunday morning? Is this not a time for rejoicing? The answer, of course, is yes, it is. Jesus has risen. The problem is nobody told Mary. Mary doesn't know it yet. She thinks Jesus is still dead, and with him, all of her hope and passion for life has also died. She doesn't have any other place to go, and she is too overwhelmed by emotion to ponder what it all means. So she just sits by the tomb and weeps. And weeps and weeps. Have you ever wept like that? We spend time on Maundy Thursday reflecting on the shadows of our lives, as Marianne said again this morning. Fear, sadness, doubt, and even death are a part of our lives, and often they make us weep and weep and weep. But finally, Mary opens her eyes, and through the vision blurred by her tears, she barely makes out two figures in the tomb, gleaming white angels. Now, usually when angels appear, they say, don't be afraid, because people are usually afraid. But she's too full of grief and confusion to be scared or amazed or anything. As they become clear in her sight, she asks them this simple question. They ask her this simple question. Woman, why are you crying? Now, you can imagine these angels must have had a gleam in their eyes when they asked it, because they were probably looking right past her to Jesus, who was standing right behind her. And as she realized they were looking past her, she turns around, and there he is. And he asks her the same question, woman, why are you crying? But she doesn't recognize him. It's it because her eyes are still blurry with tears and her heart still burdened with grief, or her mind still cloudy from confusion? Probably all three. But now she's getting frustrated. "Where have you put him?" she asks him, as if to say, "Stop playing games with me. Just tell me where he is." Have you ever felt like God was playing games with you? Like you were giving him the very best you could, and it felt like he was just leading you in circles, or you were going deeper into confusion rather than clarity, or he was silent in the face of deep questions and hurts? The promise of the oft-quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that if we trust him and seek him, he will make our path straight, doesn't always play out in the time frame or the way that we would like it to. Surely no one could doubt Mary's seeking and trusting. Yet Jesus and these angels didn't give her the straight answers that could satisfy her seeking and answer her questions. They, in fact, gave her more questions. So the first thing we learn about this story of following Jesus in resurrection life is that we have to learn to live with questions. In fact, it is the questions in our hearts and minds that drive us deeper into Jesus. Sometimes the way God meets us is not with clarity, but with more questions. Because he knows it is in the seeking and wanting to know more that we get to experience the fullness of his life and power. But he is not playing games with us, and he knows the moment he needs to speak our name. And so he says, "Mary." And suddenly she knows who it is. This is the one she's been seeking and the one that she loves. Suddenly the grief and the struggle and the seeking are over. She has found him. He is alive, and with him all her hopes and desires for life come shooting back into her mind and into her body. She grabs a hold of him and is never letting go. And after some time, he pries her off of him and tells her to go and tell others. Her simple message, the only thing that she can think of, is, "I have seen the Lord." The others, of course, are still confused, and they continue to be confused, even as Jesus reveals himself in various ways over the next 40 days. But each time they hear it, they believe a little more. And each time they get a glimpse of him, their faith is building. And this is why it's so important to keep telling each other the ways that we have seen the Lord, whether it feels little or big. Because the new creation that was unleashed by Jesus and the resurrections comes as a seed and not as a tidal wave. And the problem with seeds is we lose track of them. Admittedly, I'm not a very careful gardener. I like planting things, but sometimes I forget where I planted them. Or even right when they spring up, I step on it and it destroys it. And if my kids are in the garden, the plants don't stand a chance. The seeds that we're putting in the ground don't look like much. Yesterday I was planting peas and I spilled the seeds all over the grass. I had to look through and try to find each of these little pea seeds. Thankfully, I didn't spill the radish seeds. I would have never found them. These seeds that contain so much potential and potential for beauty and nutrition and richness and everything that we need are so small that often we just forget about them. And Jesus is so clear. The kingdom comes as a seed into the ground of human history. And it's easy to forget that the resurrection life of Jesus is now available right in our situations. We don't always know when it's going to spring up or how it's going to spring up, but just like gardening, there are things we can do to be ready for it, to be more aware of it, and to encourage it. And one of the most important things we can do to cultivate the ground of our hearts and our minds to be aware of how the kingdom is breaking forth is to tell each other how we see the kingdom breaking forth. When I tell my kids, "Look, that's a pea plant. Don't step on it," then they know they shouldn't step there. And when my wife tells me, "Troy, that's a pea plant. Don't step on it," then I remember that I shouldn't step there and kill the poor plant. And that's what we're doing as we experience notice and share the ways we see the new creation bursting forth in our world, then it reminds all of us, hey, it's coming. Let's keep praying it in. Let's keep nurturing it. Let's keep encouraging it. Let's keep being aware of it so that we can see it more and more and more. And we don't forget it. And the weeds that grow faster and stronger, they don't take our attention. And we're able to pull them out because we know the harvest is coming. There it is. I see it again. I see it again. I see it again. And so this Easter, we want to encourage each other with ways that we have seen the Lord. So I post that question again to you. How have you seen the Lord? And I know this is even more awkward than it would be awkward sharing in a church building or giving or passing a mic around. But let's lean into the awkwardness. However, you can share a little bit, a sentence or two, even if it's, again, even if it's not a totally complete thought. How have you seen the Lord? We don't have time for really long stories. So if it's a really long story, you can say, there's so much more I could say. And we'll ask you about it some other time. But let's just share sentence two, three about how we have seen the Lord with each other. And we want to soak this in. I encourage you, as you hear people share or listen to some testimonies that I have from people, to just let it cultivate your awareness, your expectancy, your hope that yes, Jesus is alive. Yes, he is working. And the weeds that we see and the disruptions and the pain and all the shadows that we were talking about do not have the last word. They will get ripped out. And what will live for eternity is this new creation that Jesus has brought to us. Even last week, just at the end of our service, Shelley mentioned how she has been able to get out and see more of God in creation and see his springing forth. I've been called into faith and hope by the little flowers that don't care about the coronavirus, but just keep blooming. And I talked to Miriam Wrights this morning, and she told me the same thing. She's not allowed to leave the building, but she can go out a little bit and see the flowers. And they just call her to thanks and praise again that in the midst of the chaos, the new creation is coming. So, and she told me also this morning that she's heard, and it was given her hope is to remember that churches might be empty, but so is the tomb, and Jesus is continuing to be at work. And I think that's such a great declaration of praise and hope. I have a couple more that I'll mix in, but does anybody want to jump in with a short testimony? How have you seen the Lord these weeks, or whenever you want to share from?
And calls and cards. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Glenn.